We're in the good company this morning of a fashionable fashionista whose dresses have enhanced the famous and the yet-to-be-famous people of the world. You may remember that red dress of Rebecca Twigley turning head to the Brownlows in 2004. May I present to you Ruth Tarvidas. Hello, Ruth.
Hi, John. How are you going?
I'm well. What was life like for you when that red dress hit our minds?
Look, I was in London at that time, and I remember taking the phone off because I wanted to get some sleep that night, and I actually wondered whether or not she made the papers. So I put my phone on in the morning, and my God, just totally inundated with calls and messages, and I thought, uh-oh. So suddenly the Channel 7 was on the phone. They wanted to do a live interview at the breakfast table, and it just all started to happen, and it was like about 20 days nonstop. As I travelled through Paris, as I was travelling everywhere, the phone just kept ringing. And radio stations, TV stations bombarded me. And obviously they were doing a big job on Rebecca. So it was really more than amazing. You know, I've never – and even the dresses, when the dress was sold and in a store, like I think there was a dress in Melbourne in the window, the owner of the store said, oh my God, there's traffic jams around here, they're all slowing down to look at this red dress, and people would just sort of congregate around the window. So the more they spoke about it, this red dress just blew out. You've no idea.
A red dress in a window causing traffic jams. Now, that's something.
Yeah, a red dress in the window causing traffic jams and people just hoarding around the windows.
Did you think it was something special at the time, or was it just the next dress?
Well, actually, it was the season before the season that I was away in London, and I was at an exhibition buying fabric and jewellery and bits and pieces, and I was flying back on an aeroplane, and I was just, you know, drawing and thinking that beautiful, really weird kind of earthy, nearly scrappy kind of metal studded with these amazing coloured stones. I thought, wow, that would look amazing dribbling down somebody's back, you know. So I got back and we designed it, sent it to Italy, and they made it up, and bingo, it became that red dress.
Where do these designs come from? You mentioned you were there on the aeroplane. Is it nearly always from the fabric? Do you look at the fabric and get inspired?
Well, no, it has its own energy in the sense that that piece of jewellery down the back, you couldn't get into the dress without having a plunging front. So it's not like we wanted to expose her front. It was the only way to get into the dress. Now, there's a good excuse.
It's the design. I'm sorry.
It was the design. It was not the neckline.
Ruth, when did you realise you're a fashion designer? When did it come to you?
Look, I was observing how a design actually empowers a person. And I used to watch my sister as, I think I was just about a six-year-old and she was a teenager, transforming from an awkward teenager to an amazing goddess, you know, going out on her dates on Saturday nights. And it totally intrigued me. I thought, wow, you know. So I remember that impressing me. And then, of course, hitting my own teenage years and going to parties, who doesn't want to look the best? So that's how it started. And it was encouraged by all my girlfriends wanting to borrow my dresses that I made to wear to these parties. And I thought, well, there's got to be something in this. They don't only just borrow my dress, but they take my boyfriend with it.
Oh, dear. It was the combo.
Yeah. So crikey, fortunately, right. It was good boyfriend. I mean, it was boyfriends. It was a good goodbye.
Well, that just goes to show.
It was an early understanding. It was an early understanding of the male generation.
Well, maybe not, Ruth. I think you're being a bit hard on us men. I think it's more how powerful your dress designs are.
Well, I'm not sure, John.
We could blame it on the design before, maybe we could go again this time.
Look, I'll try it out. I'm going out tomorrow night. I'm going to try it out again.
You've already mentioned now that you've started from 6 years old. How did you start actually making dresses? Did you say, well, let's get the sewing machine out? Did you make a dress for a friend? What was that first dress like? And do you still remember it?
Yeah. Actually, my mother was really, really busy making all my older sister's dresses. So I had to struggle and make my own. And I don't have patience, John. That's one thing I have not got.
Right.
So I'd buy a dress, rip it up, stick feathers on, throw sequins at it, do all sorts of things to make it wild, and cut bits out and do all sorts of things. And, create some pop couture.
And there they were. Did you go along and actually learn any skills, or did you take, I don't know, sewing classes or designing classes to help you along?
Well, at school, of course. But then again, I didn't even have the patience to thread a needle. I'd have to ask somebody to do it for me.
No. That's hilarious.
Yes!
Can you thread this for
it's
me, please?
Terrible.
I'm too busy designing over here. Thread. Go.
No. Everybody was just so lovely. I actually did thread needles.
Yes.
But, John, the interesting thing about it is I really don't even know what we're talking about. What did you say?
Let me ask you this, Ruth. What skills do you wish you'd developed when you were younger that could have helped you now?
Patience, simply patience. No, at the same time, look, I don't wish for anything. I think I've developed all the skills that I've needed over my little career. And I think the most important influences has been my family and my father, really amazing person, observing and learning the people's skills that he had. People's skills, I think, are revolutionary, you know. They get you there.
For example, what would be a people skill that you wish more people had?
Oh, John. Okay. Reading the person and knowing where you can go with that person immediately. So, one, you don't waste time. Two, it's an understanding. And also, I suppose, with regard to designing, it's understanding where to even start, you know, what they want to project, and so it goes. But on a deeper level, it's just being a nice person.
Yes. We're talking to fashion designer Ruth Tarvidis this morning here on 6PR. Ruth, you've had the highs, the lows, and the highs again. Let's start with the first. Opening your very first store. How was that for you? Tell us about it.
Oh, my God, that was so fun. We had all the stations out the front of our store, and we were basically news overnight. And
what year was this?
Yeah, 69 70. We were like household names overnight. It was amazing. The crocheted bikinis and the hardly there dresses and the little satin hot pants and the see-through tops sort of helped. But it was fun stuff, you know, and it was, and everything was covered anyway. So,
do you find in fashion?
If my father let me wear it, and he was a very, very strict guy, then it was okay for anybody else.
So you had your line drawn in the sand. Do you find in fashion that you do need some items that are like me straight away, and others that are the artistic journeys?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I like the artistic journeys. They last longer.
Mm. Ruth, there was a time in your life when the business wasn't going as well and things started to go down, and yet you said rather than give up, somehow you mustered the strength, the energy to get back, stand up and fight on. What was that time like?
That was about a year ago, I think, wasn't it? It wasn't. Look, it was a combination of things. Suddenly the market declining, like very suddenly, high rentals that were, you know, just wacko. And unfortunately, traffic jams all over Perth and city developments endlessly, which I know I'm writing to progress. But when it all comes at once, it's a little bit too hard to handle. And
that's
then
right.
I think...
Well, when people can't progress
banks,
up to your store and get there.
At that stage also, I think Claremont Quarter had just opened. So, look, it's just a combination of circumstances, John. And the bank tried as hard as possible, and I tried as hard as possible for the bank. I sold my house, sold my car. And, look, I'm still talking to the bank, so who knows out of it.
I mean, it clearly was an emotional time. How did you keep it together? How did you keep the strength and the focus? It would have been easy to give up.
Well, I've got a couple of really good, real friends that kick me in the head every now and again, say, get out of it and get on with life. It's too easy to suck yourself into your own poor me space, you know? owe a lot to some wonderful advisors that have helped me through this and directed me and kicked me in the head.
Were you nervous? Do you get nervous when you reopened there in Claremont?
Look, John Bond made an offer that was wonderful and at the perfect time. And there was nothing to be nervous about. It was a very generous and comfortable offer. We had, everything just fell into place. I wasn't nervous, John.
I'm not sure you would
I get nervous about other things, but for one reason, opening in Claremont was not nerve-wracking at all. It was very friendly and, if anything, a real high.
What does make you nervous?
John, that's
perhaps
that's
that
a
question.
Hard one. Well, I think the worst thing I think in life is love. I think that's what freaks me out.
I've noticed you've had some opinions on love and how best to handle love. They seem a little bit different from the average person, but perhaps what we might expect from Ruth Tarvidas. Can you share that with us, please?
Yeah, don't get involved. It does your head in.
I like
it.
Well,
it does my head in anyway.
It's simple. We are talking to the fashion designer Ruth Tarvidas this morning on 6PR. Ruth, how many ways can there be to design a dress? I look at all the dresses there ever seem to be, and they don't look a lot different to me as I casually glance from one to another. Are there more designs yet to be drawn?
Oh, my God. And I think the whole thing is that you don't think. You just let something else take over. We had this really funny little moment when a dress came back from Hong Kong and it looked weird. So instead of, I just like throw it in the bin. And then I thought, hey, before you throw it in the bin, let's try it on upside down. And we tried it on upside down. And wow, it was the hottest thing we ever saw. The skirt just all sort of cascaded into this weird shape and it became a winning design. So even mistakes and accidents become amazing designs. So you just have to be open and let go. It's beautiful. It's a lot of fun. And then sometimes it's a pain.
Be prepared to turn it on its head and you never know what you might end up with.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, stand on your own head.
Why have you decided to design clothes primarily for ladies?
I've been asked so often, and recently Troy Baipagallo was saying, do a suit for me, but it's got to be exclusive. And actually, I'm actually considering it. I think we might do a male suit. John, would you be a candidate?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I would. I'll just go get in shape, though, because I've seen how great the people look. Do they have to have great bodies to wear your clothes, or do the clothes make the body great?
Well, we could do both. We could actually elasticate some areas, or otherwise we could expose some areas. I think we might actually do a menswear line. That's a really, really good idea. We could have so much fun.
A 6PR exclusive. I love it. You had time there in London, Harrods and Selfridges, and we've seen that the TV shows are on the making of the man, Mr. Selfridge. What was life like there? Because to walk up to Harrods is quite inspiring alone on the first time you go there. To walk up there and have your products on sale, that must be something else.
It is. I think that's when you realise what you have actually achieved, because you're there with the best, like Marchesa and Versace, and you go, wow, you know. And I remember watching in Harvey Nichols, when we were in Harvey Nichols, these beautiful gowns we had that had open sides and beads just strung the sides together, so there's a little bit of sheer space down the sides. And these beautiful Middle East women came in and they're all trying them on. And I was like a fly on the wall because I didn't announce who I was. I was just observing. And it was exquisite. It was just lovely to think we made those. Here they are in Harrods. These beautiful women are trying them on and taking them home. Yeah, it's so fun. And then we've had some parades in Selfridges, which was weird because they were advertising my personal appearance, saying, outrageous designer from Australia, personal appearance, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, level such and such, see the fashion design. So I thought, oh, my God, outrageous. And I remember leaving the hotel thinking, am I outrageous enough? So I sort of ripped the side of my top and it fell a little bit further, and I wore just one glove. This was even before Michael Jackson. And then I messed my hair up even more, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, am I outrageous enough? And then I got to the fashion parade and nobody would come near me, and I said to my agent, wow, something wrong with me. And he said, you look so daunting with those black eyes and your top falling off. So I don't know. I think I got something wrong then. But I was just trying to comply.
You become too right. How do we do that? You do that. How do we do that? I've seen people say, well, if I rip this and tear that, and somehow it sort of comes together. Other people rip this and tear that, and it's just awful. What are the subtleties? What do you look for? How do you find that? Is it just magic?
It is. It's just magic.
I shouldn't have led you in with that. All right. It's magic, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young and old. That's how it's done. It's magic. Ruth, do you have a fashion tip for us today? First the ladies and then the men.
Yeah, be yourself and just love yourself. Absolutely love yourself and enjoy what you have. And come and see us in Claremont. We'll help you.
Great idea.
And the men, we're working on you. We're working on you. We won't be long.
Ruth Tarvidas, when people see you, they see that rather stylish military hat that you wear. We've seen it in a lot of photographs. Perhaps that's how folks are remembering you right or imagining you right now. Where did that come from?
I found it. I found it in a shop, and I just loved it. One, it suits me, and two, it's got some kind of fun power about it. So, yeah, you don't see me without it much, but and on a bad hair day, it really works.
Ruth, it's been a pleasure to have a chat with you this morning. I already feel more fashionable. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure too.